Hallelujah. Got my little helper with me tonight. Well, it's good to be in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about it today, and ever since I was 12 years old, I've been a regular part of church. And I was going to church before then, but at the age of 12 was when I got born again, and I came to know the Lord Jesus. And I've been faithful in church ever since. Amen? Amen? And I never get tired of it. God always amazes me. And I've seen a lot of things over the years, but I'm looking forward to see much more things. Amen? Because we serve an awesome God. And he's very real, and amen. And you know, it's always good to invest in his kingdom. So here at Victory Christian Fellowship, you know, we don't pass a bucket, but we do have an investment opportunity every time we meet. And Paul said, you know, if we share spiritual things, should it not be that we receive material things also? And, you know, God doesn't need your money, but when you give it to him, he multiplies it. And so I just want to bless the offering tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege to give into your kingdom. Lord, we give because we love you. And we give of our tithes, Father. We give our 10%. And Lord, we give over and above that. We give our offerings to you, Lord. And I bless every giver and every gift. Lord, multiply it back unto them. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Cause men to give into their bosom. Rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on them so great that their rooms can't contain it, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, we're having a chicken barbecue coming up on, what is it, the 24th? Saturday. They're selling tickets ahead of time, so there's a flyer in the back. If you need to pass it on, some information, tell your family and friends, and it's going to be good chicken. You know why we eat a lot of chicken in church? Because we always want to get back at that rooster that told on Peter. And then Friday night, for women, we want to help you recognize if you're in an abusive situation, how you can stop the cycle of abuse. And it's called Her Gift. So for ladies and teenage girls, right, to recognize. Yeah. If you know someone, it'll give you the tools to help people. Amen? And praise the Lord. Anything else? I think that's it. All right. Well, go with me to 1 John chapter 5. I thought I might move on to something else, but the Lord had other plans. So we're not done with talking about our victorious faith yet. And tonight we're going to talk about the element of believing on kind of how that works. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." I want you to know that if you're born of God, you are an overcomer. You've been birthed into an overcoming family. You've been birthed into a successful, victorious family, the family of God. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So you have been equipped with overcoming, victorious faith. All right? And I'll read these once again, and then we'll go where we need to go for tonight. Elements of victorious faith. Number one, you must have a knowledge of God, his word, and his will. If you don't know what God says, then how do you know it belongs to you? Because God's word is the key to us receiving everything that God promised us. Okay? So we have to have knowledge of God, his word, and his will. If you're going to be an overcomer. Number two, elements of victorious faith is God's word must be communicated to you in some way. You could read it. You could hear it. If you can't speak, they could sign it to you. Amen? But how many know that God knows exactly how to communicate to each one of us? He knows what how you respond and what gets your attention. Number three, you must accept God's word as the only way. You must believe it to be absolutely true. You must find it trustworthy to stand on and be held up by and practiced in daily living. God's word was meant to do, right? The reason God gives us his word is so that we can then take his word and literally live it out in our lives. Because the Bible is the most practical book you ever find. All right? God made it really easy for us to participate in his plan and to do his will. Number four, faith is released through some action that demonstrates and reinforces what you believe. If you believe God's word, then there's going to be a corresponding action that needs to take place in order for the power to come to you. Because faith is really an action word. All right? You're not going to be an overcomer by doing nothing. You're going to have to take an action. Now, it could be a simple action as simply speaking the word of God. All right? Or the Holy Spirit will tell you what action that you need to take for your situation. All right? And don't just do something because someone else did it. Because then you're putting faith in the person and not what God told you to do. He may deal with you differently. Even though you're facing a similar situation, he might lead you to do it differently. Amen? So be open for that. Number five, your heart and your mouth must agree 100% about what God said and what his will is. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made. You need your heart and your mouth working together to have overcoming faith. All right? Number six, your faith will produce results, and it does not expire until it manifests what you desire. All right? Even though it took Abraham 25 years, he had what God said. He became a father of many nations. All right? He had no kids. It was physically impossible for him to have kids, but he kept believing God. He kept holding on to God's promises, and that promise came to pass. And that's the kind of trust that we have. Listen, your circumstances do not override what God says. What God says has to override your circumstances. In other words, you've got to pay more attention to what God says than what's happening in your circumstances. Right? Okay? Number seven, faith pleases God and he will abide by your faith. He will allow your faith to set the parameters of how you want the power to manifest. You know, oftentimes people did things without Jesus telling them. The woman with the issue of blood, she came and touched the hem. She said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. What did she do then? She went and touched him. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. All right, so it was her faith that really set the parameters of how she was going to receive the power. The Roman centurion, he didn't have Jesus come over his house. He just said, say the word, and it shall be so. And Jesus marveled at his great faith, but his faith set the parameters. All right? And then finally, number eight, faith always has a joyful, expecting, and peaceful disposition. You will know you're in faith by the expression on your face. Amen? And your expression doesn't lie. Faith doesn't drink lemon juice. All right, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And for this section, I simply call it those who believe. How many believers do we have here tonight? Say, I'm a believer. Okay? Well, to be a believer means you believe in something. And believing is not something you do in a moment, but it's really how you live. Okay? And in John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says this, that whosoever believes in him. If you're a whosoever, say amen. 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 That's all of us. Now notice, faith is not limited to a particular type of person. Faith can be operated in by anybody, okay? But it's whosoever believes in what? In him. Jesus has to be the object of your faith, okay? If you're sick, it's very easy to make healing the object. But which is better, the healing or the healer? If you have the healer, then you get the healing. If you have the Savior, then you get salvation. If you have the Prince of Peace, then you get the peace. Right? If you have, he's our wisdom. If you have the wisdom of God, then we get wisdom. So you got to make Jesus the object of your faith. Your faith has to be in him, okay? Not his gift, not what he wants to do, but in him, in his character, in his nature, in his name, okay? Whosoever believes in him, okay, if you believe in him, according to verse 15, what's going to happen? You will not perish, but what? But have everlasting life or eternal life, okay? So your belief in him, it cancels out a negative and it gives you a positive. And it's through the belief in him. It's through the fact that you believe in him, okay? And then verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice the object of our faith is the Son, okay? That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that interesting? He says basically the same thing twice. Now, when you repeat yourself, is it important or not? The more you repeat yourself, the more important it is, right? Okay? So what does it mean to believe? Okay, the moment you believe is the moment you have. The moment you believe in Jesus and whatever needs to happen through him, that is the moment you have. Now, you may not see it or feel it physically at that moment, but the moment you believe is the moment you have. Okay? Because that's really what it means to believe. And the moment you act on what you believe is the moment you possess it. Okay? So what does it mean to believe? It means to have faith in. It means to entrust. It means to commit to trust or to put your trust with. So if you're putting your trust in him, then that's the key to getting what you need, okay? You got to have faith in a person or a thing. You commit your trust to him. You put your trust in him, okay? And then secondly, to believe means it is a persuasion, okay? Something is persuading you. When Abraham believed God in Romans 4, it says that he was fully persuaded, all right? You see, when you believe in him, you get to the point where you're fully persuaded that it cannot go any other way but the way that he says it. Okay? It means a persuasion. It means to have credence. It means a conviction of a truth or the truthfulness of God. It means to rely upon Christ for your salvation. It means constancy in profession. When you believe something, you are saying the same thing whether it looks good or looks bad. Do you realize how many times Abraham called himself Abraham? Over 25 years, how many times do you think he called himself Abraham? How many times do you think he verbally spoke Abraham? I don't know, millions of times maybe. Okay? But when he was speaking Abraham, who gave him Abraham? God gave him that. Okay? And Abraham means father of many nations. So every time Abraham used his name verbally, he was saying, "Hi, I'm father of many nations. Hi, I'm father of many nations. I'm father of many nations. I'm father of many nations. I'm father of many nations." You know what he became? He became exactly what he said. Amen. Do you know what you're going to become? You're going to become what you say, because what you say is really what you believe sometimes. If you go around telling yourself that you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, guess what? You won't be able to do it. Why? You have faith in your inability. See, to believe is a constant profession. What is something that's constant? It doesn't change. Okay? It's not up one day and down the next. That's not faith. Faith is steady. Faith achieves a cruising altitude. Like, if you ever flown, you know, sometimes it's rough, but once they get to that cruising altitude, it smooths out, and they take off the seatbelt signs, and you're free to move about the cabin. Okay? Another, so you got to be persuaded. You got to have a conviction of the truthfulness of God, of what God is saying, of who God is. Okay, another level of this word is to convince by argument. Whether it's true, it means to assent to evidence. Now, when it comes to faith, what is the only evidence that you need? You know, when it comes to faith, your feelings cannot be introduced as evidence. Because your faith should not be in your feelings. Because how many know feelings change? Your faith has to be in something that doesn't change, that's immovable, unshakable, steadfast, and firm. Okay? So this word also means to rely by inward certainty. In other words, when you believe something, you're saying, "I know that I know that I know it to be true." And sometimes people think that way about a lie. People are so convinced sometimes that a lie is actually true, but it's not. And sometimes when they sit under teaching or sit under preaching, and they're preaching and the teaching, it contradicts what they feel, it contradicts their experience, it contradicts what they know. Sometimes there's a battle that goes on. Anybody ever been involved in those battles? And this word to believe means to have confidence. See, it's an inward certainty that produces confidence. Abraham was confident that what God promised was going to come to pass. He was confident that what God said was going to happen. The Roman centurion was confident that when Jesus spoke, his situation was going to change. And that's all he needed to do was to speak. He was confident in the words that Jesus spoke. Okay? Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. See, the reason I present to you with a lot of scripture on any topic is because I want to persuade you through an argument. And my argument is what God says in His Word, because this is the absolute truth. I don't ever try to convince you on what I think or what my opinion is, but I want you to be convinced on what God said. And I want you to look for yourself to see what God said. How many want to be like the Bereans? The Bereans were more honorable because they would hear Paul speak and they would look into the scriptures to see if what he was saying was so. Oh, I can't believe they just didn't take the apostle Paul's word for it. No. If you just take the preacher's word for it, you could be led astray. You've got to know the word for yourself. You've got to know where it's found. You've got to know where it's located. You've got to know where you can look when you need it. And then you eventually got to get it in your heart. Amen. Where if necessary, it can come out like a machine gun. Da, 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 da. You know, that's how you got to quote the word. I had a teacher in Bible school. They called him Machine Gun Beatty. His name was Cooper Beatty. He just went on to be with heaven. He was 97 years old. And they called him Machine Gun Beatty because he would rattle off scriptures like a machine gun in class. And, you know, he grew up as a Quaker. And he was a skinny guy, and he had these glasses, and every once in a while he'd have a puppet with him. Seriously, he had this little puppet that he would bring out when he needed to make a point on something. Okay, John chapter 6 and verse 40. Okay? Now, the world will tell you that seeing is believing, but that's not true. Believing is seeing. Okay? John 6, 40. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So what do we know? Is it God's will for anybody to perish? No. If people perish, they're out of the will of God. In other words, someone who perished did not believe what they needed to believe, or they believed the wrong thing. They didn't believe the truth. Okay? This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone which sees the Son, where are you going to find the Son to see Him? Every time you look to this, Jesus said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Every time you see scriptures, you're seeing the Son. Amen. And every time you see the Son, you got to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to believe what He said. And if you believe what He said, then you're actually going to have to put it into practice in your life. If you believe that God blesses you, then you had better be a giver. Because if you believe that God blesses you and you never give, then you don't really believe it. Because faith without works is what? Dead. All right? Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. Okay, Jesus spoke unto her, all right? This was Martha. And He said these words. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now, how many believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Amen. He's not going to be. He won't be it someday. He is it. He is the resurrection and the life. So wherever Jesus is, two things occur: resurrections and life. Life happens and resurrection happens because He is the resurrection and the life. When you know the resurrection and the life, you get resurrection and life. Okay? But notice He said to her, that he that believes in me, you got to believe he's the resurrection and you got to believe he's alive. That even though you die, you're going to live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her this question. Do you believe this? Okay. Look at her answer, verse 27. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Notice, she did not believe that he is the resurrection and the life. What she was believing about him was true. Okay? But she was kind of believing something general, where he was trying to get her to believe something specific for the situation that she was facing. What was the situation that she was in? Her brother had been dead for 4 days. Her brother was wrapped and entombed. And, you know, when Jesus came onto the scene, they said, oh, Jesus, if you'd have been here, you could have healed my brother. And Jesus, on purpose, waited for 4 days till after he was good and dead. Because he wanted to demonstrate who he is, and he just wanted some people to believe who he is, that he is the resurrection, that even though you die, you're going to live. Amen. Okay? And so you've got to believe, your believing in Jesus is secure in spite of different circumstances. Now, what I mean by secure, you know, I'm not talking about eternal salvation. I'm talking about that when you believe in Jesus, it is a safe place. It is a good place. When you put your faith in Jesus, it doesn't matter what happens in the circumstances. If you need healing in your body, he's the healer, whether your symptoms say it or not, whether your body agrees with it or not. It doesn't change the fact that he is the healer. It doesn't change the fact that healing is his will. It doesn't matter if 10 people you know died with the same thing. It does not change the fact that he is the healer and healing is his will. But the question is, can you believe that about him in spite of your circumstances? See, you got to look past your circumstances sometimes. You got to look past your feelings. You got to look past what you've experienced in your life. You can't compare him with your experience. You've got to compare him with what he is. He's the truth. Okay? So, believing in him is constant, steady, and certain. Believing in him is a lifestyle. You must believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If you believe that, you should not fear death one bit. People who believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, they can face death with courage and boldness. I read of a minister, his name was E.W. Kenyon, and he knew that he was going to be going home. So he told his daughter, or whoever he was living with at the time, he said, I'm going to go home today. And he went and had breakfast, and he went on the porch and sat in his rocking chair with his big smile on his face, and that was it. Because he believed that Jesus is the resurrection and life, and even though you die, you're going to live. Amen. So by believing that he's the resurrection and the life, you actually overcome the circumstance of death. Okay? And we're going to look at a story about that in a moment. See, believing in him is a choice that you make based on the information that you have. Jesus specifically told this to Martha. He specifically gave her this statement, I am the resurrection and the life. And he even asked her, do you believe this? And she did believe in him up to a certain point. And I'm not saying that what she believed about him was bad. It wasn't bad. She just wasn't specific enough of her belief. Okay? And he proved that he is the resurrection and the life, didn't he? And he stood in front of that tomb, and he confidently said, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't care if he'd been dead for 4 days. It doesn't matter. Because he believes in who he is. And when you believe like Jesus believed, you will speak like Jesus spoke. You will act like Jesus acted. You will be bold. You will be confident. You will be firm. You will be authoritative. And I could just imagine the crowd. They're at his, you know, he's speaking to a dead man. But they didn't know that Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to a lot of things. But it was all about what they believed. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at verse 22. "And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." What do you think he did when he was at his feet? He was worshiping. Okay? I want you to notice he saw Jesus, and the first thing he did when he saw him was he worshiped. All right? And he besought him greatly. Okay, so who's his focus on? Right? He sees him. He worships him. He's talking to him. All right? Do you see that Jesus is the object of his faith? Okay? There's something that he knows about Jesus that he knows that he's the only one that can help him with his situation. And he said, "The problem, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her." Notice what he says, "that she may be healed and she shall live." Is there any doubt in that statement as to what the results are going to be? Okay. Now, a person who believes is going to have to stick with that statement. This is my statement and I'm sticking to it. It doesn't matter what changes in the circumstance. It doesn't matter what you stick with your statement. Don't move from that statement. You've got to invest your heart into what you believe. Okay? How do we know that this pleased Jesus? Verse 24, Jesus went with him. How many know if there was anything disagreeable about what Jairus did, Jesus wouldn't have gone with him. Jairus asked Jesus, "Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." Okay? I want you to notice the specific words that he uses, because you're going to see that Jesus does exactly what Jairus says. All right? Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. Then they get interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. Okay? Go down to verse 35. "While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why should you trouble the master any further?'" Uh-oh. That goes against what Jairus said. Now he's faced with a choice. Is he going to put his faith in this circumstance and not trouble the master anymore? Or is he going to believe what he originally said in his statement? You're going to find that when you're in faith, you're going to have choices whether to believe God or to doubt. And I want to encourage you to stick with believing God. Okay? Now, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, how many know that word painted a picture in his mind? That word was saying his little daughter is dead. The master can't do anything anymore. Jesus heard those words. And the word responded to those words. I love it when the word responds to people's words. It corrects the words that were spoken. He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Okay, now Jairus is faced with a choice. To fear or to believe. Notice Jesus didn't tell him what to believe. Jesus heard the words, your daughter's dead, don't trouble the master any further. And Jesus looked at Jairus. Let's just pretend that this pulpit is Jairus. He said, Jairus, don't be afraid, only what? Believe. What was he supposed to believe? He was supposed to believe his original statement. Because faith pleases God, doesn't it? We know that it pleased Jesus because Jesus was willing to go with him and do what Jairus said. Anybody ever have this choice to fear or to believe? Guess what? We face this choice every day. And in every situation in life, we face this choice, whether to fear or to believe. You know, when things happen in life when you don't expect, when you don't, you didn't plan for certain things to happen, but they happen. I didn't plan to get in the head-on collisions here alone, but it happened. But my first response out of my mouth was Jesus. I didn't plan to get in an accident when Gabriel was with me when we went to Canada and preached, but it happened. And let me just tell you this story. Gabriel and I, we were coming back from Canada, and we were going through Ohio. And I wanted to just take a break from the turnpike and just enjoy the sights of Ohio. And I was driving on this road, and it was a two-lane road. Coming at me was a line of cars probably the whole way back to Ray there. And I'm going this way, traveling at 55 miles an hour. When I get here, someone in this lane, because there's a tractor in front, and everybody's stuck behind the tractor. You know how it is when you get stuck behind a tractor. I know the thoughts because I have some of those thoughts too. And this young kid decided to turn right in front of me. And I hit the brakes. And I did everything I could, but I clipped his back end because he turned right in front of me. And my tire was damaged. My car was not drivable. But I was able to pull it off to the side. And you know what Gabriel and I did? We prayed. And here's how God worked it all out. When the police came and everything, to make a long story short, the state police officer said, there's not a rental place within 50 miles. And he said, I could give you a ride to the next county, but then you're going to have to get another ride to someplace else. Well, because Gabriel and I prayed, guess what? The person that came to tow my vehicle also had cars to rent. And they put us in a car that same night, and we were able to come home. It was a miracle. Because the person who came to tow my vehicle was also a body shop, and they also had cars to rent. Okay, let's get back to this story so we can finish up here. Now, Jairus had to choose. Jesus didn't tell him what to choose. He said, be not afraid, only believe. Listen, you cannot mix your belief with anything else other than what Jesus said. Amen. Okay? Notice what happens now. Apparently, Jairus made the decision to believe. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult, or the commotion, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now you got to understand, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and Jairus are walking into this situation, and there's chaos, there's commotion, people are carrying on, they're wailing, emotions are flowing. Okay? You got to fight through all this. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. Because Jairus said she shall live. And Jesus is agreeing with what Jairus said. And they laughed him to scorn. How many people feel good when people laugh at you? I bet a lot of people would have left right then, because being laughed at would have been too much, but you would have missed your miracle. It doesn't matter that the daughter is dead. It doesn't matter that people are crying. It doesn't matter that they're laughing at you. What matters is what God said. What matters is what you believe. And he put them all out. He took the father and the mother of the girl and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, Jesus, Jairus, and his wife. Okay? And he entered where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand. Didn't Jairus say, come and lay your hands on her? So Jesus is laying his hands on her. And said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. I want you to notice he does not talk, he does not speak death at all. All right? But he goes in there and he changes the atmosphere. But too many people are changed by the atmosphere. And all that stuff is just designed by the enemy to get you out of faith. Because if the devil can get you out of faith, then he's won. But when you decide to be in faith, you don't leave. You don't leave the faith arena. The moment you decide to believe God, you stay in that arena until what you're believing for comes to pass. Because once it comes to pass, you don't need the faith for it anymore. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Apparently, Jairus believed that he is the resurrection and the life. And he chose to believe God in spite of what he was feeling and what he was hearing from people and what he was seeing in the natural when he walked into the room, what he was hearing from the testimony of the servant that came out. There was a lot of things that his belief had to overcome. But when you have overcoming and victorious faith, it doesn't matter what challenge comes against you, you will overcome and you will rise above and you will conquer and you will get the good results that you need. Amen? But you got to be a person who believes God. And when you believe God, you've got to make a statement and you can't change from that statement. In spite of what you see or what you feel or what's going on around you. And you're going to have to choose between fearing or believing. And you can get the results just like Jairus did. You know, everything that God wants us to have comes through faith. Salvation comes by faith. Our inheritance comes by faith. You know what? Joy comes by faith. Sometimes you don't feel like having joy. Do you know that sometimes you just got to make yourself joyful and then the feeling will come afterwards? You know, sometimes you may not feel like dancing, but you might just have to go into a room, shut the door, and dance. And if you take that step of faith, then your feelings will line up sometimes. Sometimes you got to step out into the unknown because you believe God. Sometimes you got to be bold when you don't feel like being bold. You got to step up when you don't feel like stepping up. But because you believe God, it is necessary. Those who believe in Him get the results. Because each one of us has the ability to operate in overcoming and victorious faith. Faith is already in you. He's given us the measure of faith. He's put faith in us, and it's what we do with it that'll make the difference. So I believe that your people who believe God, let me just leave you with this one thing here. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to close with that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 14 through 16. I want you to be so full of faith that you fight through every negative circumstance that you face and you get the miracle, you get the result that you need. Faith, say this with me, say faith works.
Faith works.
Faith works every time, it will not fail. It doesn't sleep, it doesn't slumber. Faith works, but you gotta work it. You've gotta put your faith in Him, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Interesting. Believing is a process of continuing in what you learned, been assured of, and know. It involves your mind, your heart, and the practical application. All right? Things you heard, things you learned has to do with your mind. Things you've been assured of has to do with your heart, and knowing of whom you have learned them has to do with the practical application. You know, when you have someone who you see faith working in their life and they're teaching you about faith or they're telling you about faith, it's easier to believe it, isn't it? He goes on, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. It is so important that you know the Scriptures. Amen. Young people, old people,
Amen.
You've got to know the Scriptures. You've got to know what it says. You've got to know where to find it. It could save your life. I'm telling you, you've got to know it. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew the Scriptures from a child, and look at what God could do through him. It'll make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, everybody say all Scripture.
All Scripture.
That's Old and New Testament. It is profitable. Say, God's Word is profitable. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what does that mean? Doctrine is your instruction and your teaching. Reproof is conviction of a sinner. It's refutation or disproof of error. Correction is straightening up again, or it means to lift up. And it's instruction in righteousness. It means education or training or disciplinary correction. There are times in your life when what you believe isn't working. So when what you believe isn't working, you've got to change what you believe. Or you've got to change what you're believing in. Because maybe something needs to be adjusted. How many know that if I was to button this shirt and I miss a button, it would look lopsided, wouldn't it? You know, and that's kind of how faith is. When things aren't working, you got to look at what you believe. Do you believe what the Bible says, or are you believing an experience that you've experienced years ago? Or are you believing the opinion of others? Or are you believing something that's not even in the Bible? Like one lady said, just like the song says, she was putting faith in the song. Listen, that song may not be rooted in the Word. It might make you feel good, it might have a good rhythm, but it might not be rooted in the Word. So when what you're believing for isn't working, you got to be willing to make some adjustments and change what you believe. Right? And if you go to the Word, listen, we have the Holy Spirit. His job is to bring us into what? All truth. No, sometimes the truth hurts, but mostly it helps. It'll hurt your flesh. Because we don't want to do the truth. You know, there's God's word right in front of us, and okay, I'm not doing that. But, you know, believing is a process. And we are all on different levels. Okay? So let's just be a blessing. Let's help one another. Amen. And you know, some people need teaching because they're ignorant of what the Bible says. Some people know what the Bible says, but they just don't want to do it. They're rebellious. They need correction. But why don't we stand up to our feet? I'm going to give you an assignment. There's things. Do we have things in our lives that need to change? Okay. I want you to make a list of things that need to change in your life. And I want you to find at least two or three scriptures that specifically talk about that thing that needs to be changed. I want you to find out what God's word says about whatever thing needs to change in your life. Okay? And I want you to see what God says about it, and I want you to start believing what he says about it, and watch how it'll change. Amen? Because God's word works. He is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. His word is the truth. It's the absolute truth. And when you believe what he says, you will get the results that are listed in his word for us. So now this is for people who are committed. If you're uncommitted, it's not going to work for you. If you're just doing it because, you know, you got to do it with some heart. You got to have a good attitude about it. And you've got to put your faith in what he says and let it just rest there. Don't mix it with anything else. Amen. But two or three scriptures, the Bible says, let every word be established with two or three witnesses. Okay? If your health, if you need your health to improve, well, find out what God says about sickness. If you need finances, find out what God says about provision. How many know that Peter and Jesus, they needed to pay their temple tax? Jesus was aware of that, right? They just didn't have the money on them, but he told them, go catch the first fish and it'll have two coins in its mouth, one for you and one for me. He provided. He took the little boy's lunch, but because the little boy gave it to him, He was able to multiply it. Maybe there's something that you're holding on to that needs to be given to God. So, and I'll leave you with these words. Don't be afraid, only believe.
Amen.
Don't be moved by your circumstances. But let the word of God govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And you'll see great results. Why? Because each one of you have victorious, overcoming faith. The faith that overcomes the world resides in you. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to write down some things in your life that need to change. And then you're going to find specific scriptures that relate to each of those things. How many ever things you want to write down, it doesn't matter. You write down what you need to write down. Okay?
Amen.
And then you write down, and if you want to show me your list, that's up to you. You don't have to. But that's up to you. If you want to show me your list, I'll be glad to agree with you in prayer about it. Amen? And if you don't want to show me your list, that's okay. You don't have to. But it's time that the body of Christ, this is a growing up exercise. Amen? I'm going to give you some meat to chew on.
Amen.
All right? And, you know, sometimes we don't get what we need every time through a prayer line. Sometimes we get things through walking them out. What about Naaman? What his instruction was, he had to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. The prophet didn't come out and lay hands on him. He had to obey the instruction. And when he obeyed the instruction, he got the miracle. If you want the miracle, obey the instruction.
Amen?
Amen? Father, we give you thanks and praise for tonight, this Wednesday night, Lord. I pray, Father, that because we've had the bread of heaven given to us, Lord, we're going to see things in a different light. And your bread that you've given for us tonight, Father, it satisfies the soul. And Lord, we take it in and we'll walk it out because we're believers in Christ Jesus. We believe God. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you'll meet us where our faith is. And our faith will work wonders in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed night.